Hi, my name is Carmen Cron. I live in Canoe with my partner and my two boxers. I serve the school district here as behavior consultant. I'm certified in applied behavior analysis, and I completed my master's degree in Indiana, which I'll talk about in just a little bit. This summer, I was cleaning out my garage, and these are the things that were on my driveway. There was a dirt bike and my Harley, Sportster 1200, two kayaks, some paddles, backpacks, life jackets, hiking boots, and a pair of figure skates. And I laughed because I knew that that is the equipment for living in the shoe swap. It just feels so great to be here. This is the hometown of my partner. And so for her, this is really just a living photo album from the Selmar to the Credit Union to Bastion Mountain and the beach. But it also really feels like home to me because, well, for example, I got my phone book yesterday, just like many of you did, and I quickly flipped through it and I found like 20 last names that are somehow connected to my family name. And I thought it might be interesting today to explain a little bit about what it's like to be Mennonite and how that has shaped who I am. Many of us see Mennonites around this community. I've lived all over Western Canada and in the United States as well. And wherever I go, I see and recognize people who fit somewhere within my genealogy. For those of us who live here in Salmon Arm, we see these beautiful pastel-colored dresses and head coverings. And that's a symbol that we can recognize. But we have a joke in our culture, and I think it's okay for me to say this. We have a joke that says, what is the difference between a Mennonite and a Hutterite? And the answer is that Mennonites are too cheap to buy the costume. So I am a Mennonite without the costume. I dress as other people around me. I grew up in a home in a neighborhood and went to a public school. My mom had a small business my whole life, and my dad worked for Department of Highways. So I think that's probably the best way to describe Mennonites, as living on a continuum of willingness to engage with the world or with the community. So at one end would be people like the Amish, who have a great desire to live unto themselves, so much so that many live off the grid. They drive horse and buggy. And then moving up from that would be a community like the Hutterites. We're all born of the same movement, but Hutterites, who may live in colonies, but interact more with the community and benefit from services and utilities and things like that. And then way down at the other end is the Cron family, which is me, and the way that I grew up. But regardless of where we live on that continuum, we share many of the same values, and those have absolutely shaped my relationships, my commitment to community, and the service that I provide to the kids and families in my life. As I said, I completed my master's degree in Indiana and spent many years there. So one day I found myself at a community barbecue, and there was a couple sitting next to me, husband and wife, and they were kind of eyeballing me. They had a really deep Southern accent. And finally the man says, "Where are you from?" And instantly I said, "Well, I'm Canadian." And he dismissed that and said, no, "Who are your people?" Actually, he said, "Who are your kin?" But so I knew it wasn't a question about country. It was a question about culture. And so I said, "Well, like, how do I answer that, right? And I'm German or what?" I said, "Well, I'm Mennonite." And then he said the most surprising thing. He looked me up and down. I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And for those of you who are listening, I have blonde hair and green eyes and pale skin. And he said, "Wow, I would have thought you were white," he said. Now, I take a shower every morning, and from my perspective, this is very much a white package. But for him, there was a distinction, and he was quiet for a while. And then he said, "You know, we had Mennonite neighbors, and they were good people." He said they were very, very helpful. And I was so proud in that moment. In fact, I think if Mennonites had a pride flag, their servanthood would be on it, because that's what we do. We are known around the world for the Mennonite Central Committee, Mennonite Disaster Service, the Mennonite Food Grains Bank, and I've participated in many of those things, Habitat for Humanity as well. And so I was so proud that that was his memory of having lived next to a Mennonite. And those principles continue to shape who I am. The Mennonites were born in the middle of the Radical Reformation. And I love that radical is in my genes because I'm really motivated to be on the leading edge of change and progress. I'm proud of that. I'm also really proud of the women in my culture. I guess when you're being persecuted, you're not overly fussy about your leadership. So what that means is we didn't get really hung up on gender, that if you had the skills to lead, to solve conflict, to manage emotion, to move forward, then you were equipped as a leader regardless of your gender. And I'm really proud that that's in my DNA. That's part of my story. I'm also really proud of the fact that although I no longer relate to the church at all, that our rituals and symbols didn't get lost in piety or entitlement or, you know, doing ritual for ritual's sake. So, for example, one of the rituals that we do is break bread. I guess in the church you would call it communion, but to Mennonites, it's really just a rehearsal. It's a Sunday morning rehearsal for the stuff that we should be doing on Monday through Friday. So that means that if 50th Street in Canoe has only one loaf of bread and 10 people show up, we are not going to slice it evenly. If you come and you're hungry, you get a bigger chunk. And if you're sick, you get a bigger chunk. And if you're lonely, you get whatever it is that's going to make you feel better. And that principle of distributive justice still really fuels how I think about my work in service to kids in our school district, about a fair distribution of resources. There are books that sit on the shelves of many Mennonites, and those titles really tell you a lot about what we believe. And two, interestingly, they're actually cookbooks. So one of the cookbooks, listen to the title, is called Extending the Table. And I just love that because it captures exactly what we believe. There is a practice, not so much in Mennonite world, but in Amish world, where if a person behaves outside of community norms, they are shunned. Just this horrible process of being excluded for a period of time because your behavior is unacceptable. And some of the practices that I've known never make an Amish mama mad, because that'll be the day that she sets her kid at a separate table. We extend the table. And so one of the ways around that stupid little rule is to bring a card table up alongside the family dining room table and then to cover the whole thing with a tablecloth. And that way that person is still included in the family. And that really continues to shape what I believe, which is that we have to extend the table and we have to sit at the table with diverse groups, with people who are unlike us and even people that we don't like. That book, which is a cookbook, continues to shape my thinking. And then the second cookbook that we have is called More with Less. It's an anthology of recipes from around the world using recipes that are indigenous to an area and explain some of the cultural stories around how those recipes evolved. And it really challenges us to think about food stewardship. And my partner is a chef. My brother is a baker. He has a small bakery in a small Saskatchewan community. And so we are all about food stewardship. How are we going to distribute those resources fairly? What I want to say about my language. The language that we speak is called Low German. And in German, we call it Plattdeutsch, which means flat Dutch. And the flat describes the geography from which we came. And then Dutch actually describes the dialect, which is a lot more like Dutch than it is like German. So when I met Pennsylvania Dutch Mennonites, I could understand them far more easily than I could understand German. And because it is an unwritten language, because our people are largely illiterate, the language itself is amazingly visual. It just evokes full brain pictures. And often when people are speaking Low German, there will be laughter because there's so many great figures of speech. One of them, for example, the word Baum, B-A-U-M, means tree. And Wurst is a sausage. And a Baumwurst, can you guess? A Baumwurst is a banana. It's a tree sausage. And if someone is driving in front of you and they're driving too slow, in Low German, we would say, Fahr nicht so lange bei einer Stadt, which means don't drive so long in one spot. So it evokes great, great, great images. I think I'll just leave you with a way of greeting a Mennonite if you happen to meet them, including me. We say Guten Tag, which means good day. And then if you want to ask how I am, you would say Wuschintet mit di, which means how shines it with you. When I think about my life, our life here in Salmon Arm, my career, the amazing people that I've met, the opportunity for further education, the recreation that I have, all that stuff that's in my garage, it shines really, really well for me here.